Welcome to the Music Video Night Podcast, where we watch music videos and deconstruct them into meanings that couldn't possibly be there. I'm Travis.
I'm Jared, and we're not experts in music or videos.
And interviews.
Yay.
We have another interview for you today, and one that I'm very excited about. You'll remember we covered MGMT's music video, Electric Feel, and today we have the director, Mr. Ray Tintori. Welcome, Ray.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the episode. I loved listening to it, so very excited to join the conversation.
Yes, I'm excited. Jared, do you want to tell them why I'm so excited?
Yeah, because this is, I think, if not the highest rated video you ever did, top three video you ever did. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like a 9.4 out of 10, which is, I think I even argued, and I'm sorry, Ray, I argued. not my worst video, but not my best that I rated it either.
Nope, it's not. So we're going to pick on Jared a little bit and have some fun with this. First of all, where we got you from today? Where are we talking to you from?
Okay, I'm in my studio. I'm in Manhattan right now. I'm like by South Street Seaport, World Trade Center, in like financial district of Manhattan.
Okay, all right. I mean, brag a little bit, why don't you?
I love this office. Yeah, I'm here. It's so
it's nice.
So rainy. It looks like if you've ever seen like Dark City. Or like Seven, you know the movie Seven, where it's just like, just rainy, noir. It's just like so, but yeah, I'm really happy to be hanging out with you guys tonight.
And you have a lot going on the walls in this studio of yours. What is happening?
Behind me?
Yes.
These are storyboards for a feature film project.
Okay.
I thought you set decorated for the MGMT video. Like you were giving us the full.
I have stuff here from videos for sure. I can definitely do it like a show and tell.
Yeah, and you sent us a couple nuggets to check out, and we did watch some of the things that you sent us about this video, but we are going to pick your brain a little bit because we have questions.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It was super fun to hear you guys really approach it from a narrative analysis POV.
Okay.
You know, being like, What is happening? How is this leading up to being like a story? Which I was really like, I just felt like grateful that somebody was approaching it. I'd never heard anyone approach it from that angle before. So I was really excited to talk to you about it that way.
Oh, great. My first question is, though, is when watching those videos, you know, from back then, which when was this video? Was it 2009?
2008.
2008. Mm-hmm. What moisturizer do you use? How do you still look the same?
Why do you think I look the same as I do?
Yeah, you've aged zero.
I mean, I don't know. I'm Italian, you know.
He is Italian. There you go.
Okay, all right.
I think we age well. We do. I think we do. People live to be like 110.
not in my family.
We max out at about 62 over here in Alabama.
Yeah, it all starts going downhill.
I would just chalk it up to being Italian.
Yeah. All right, so let's just get into it, Travis. I'm going to let you take lead on this whole thing because you love this video, and go for it.
I do. Okay, let's start with something easy. Conception of this music video. Where did the idea, the concept come for doing whatever this is?
Yeah, for sure. So we had made a music video already for this song that was like a video game, basically. That was like a lot of it was shot. It was like outtakes from the Time to Pretend video and stuff that we shot in mini DV. Some stuff I had shot up in Tarbox Road Studio with Dave Friedman when they were recording the song. And so we'd already edited this whole thing to the song. Everyone had made visuals for it. Done that at the same time as we made the Time to Pretend video. And then Columbia was like, we want to make a bigger video. Like, this one is good and is out there circulating, but it's not, it's like very lo-fi, and we need like a high res version of this video. And then like Andrew and Ben were like, we want it to look like a shampoo commercial. I remember that was the big thing. They were like, we want it to look like a shampoo commercial. We don't want it to be like crunchy, like the previous video. It had a lot of like digital glitchy kind of stuff, aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this one should look like a Rihanna video. It should look like a shampoo commercial. And it should be like, you know, it was like a futuristic bayou party was like the big thing that everyone was chasing. And there was, I was looking through some stuff. There was like a, the bridge was supposed to have a fan boat. Like Ben was going to be like doing a guitar solo on a fan boat. And there's going to be a big like crane shot around it. And we built that fan. I have like photos of the fan boat that we built. It was just like ran out of time on set. But it was good. Like a futuristic bayou. And also a bunch of videos from the 90s, like rap videos from the 90s, where there's like a big party going on. And you're just kind of like the singer, like the rapper is going to like weave through the party. And you get a sense of like what all their friends are like. I remember that was a big thing that we were talking about. Those are the big, you know, kind of instinctual like starting places. But it was very much like came together as we were making it.
It was a pretty watching that video, a pretty elaborate set for a lot of the stuff that we cover, and knowing that there were even bigger set pieces that did not make it is pretty crazy.
So speaking of the set, and you did send us like a time lapse video of the set kind of being put together and being taken down. But in real time, what did that look like?
Okay, so it's like a big warehouse in Greenpoint, like by the recycling plant. And it's like...
Okay.
So we had it, I think we rented it for like 4 days probably. And probably two of those days, my friends who are all, you know, just like everyone was, you know, I was 24. All my friends were 24 or younger. And we're all like out of art school. So it was like a bunch of art school kids. In like, you know, you load in, you have like 2 days to build this set. Everyone was like working all night. I definitely like stayed up all night, staple gunning like neon stuff to a tree like the night before the shoot. It was like super fun. It was just like everyone like scrambling to make it like and get it done like right as the trucks were showing up in the morning. So that's what the time lapse is like a bunch of people, maybe a group of like 25 people building the set. And the set was cool. It was like really well designed. I knew I wanted like a spinning platform in the center of it that dancers could be on. It would be like a rotating turntable. And we knew we wanted that kind of like snaky pathway. So I remember my friend, collaborator Rob Leitzel, designed this like really beautiful snaky pattern for the set that Andrew walks down at the top. I thought it was just so rad.
I can see you watching it and reminiscing too. Like you're peeking at the video.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just remember like it was so fun. That was the first time I was ever on a set where we had like a big floaty camera. And it was so fun to like think about a shape for a set and then get everyone there and rehearse it and then like walk down this imaginary shape with a big floating camera. It was just like, I don't know, just kind of dreamy.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gives off that vibe. It is a dreamlike.
Yeah.
In every manner. So did the band, did they actually help with the ideas that came behind this or help with the set? I mean, you said you had it for 4 days, so all of this took place in 4 days?
Well, I mean, the band, for sure, when I work with, so I've done like 4 videos with MGMT now, and every time it's always like starting, like writing the treatment together and just kind of figuring out kind of like bringing different pieces to the table and revising it, and like a lot of it changes when we're shooting it. So they're very much like completely equal co-creators with me in all the visuals, and they know the music so well. But like what was the second part?
Was it 4 days? Did it literally, this only took 4 days to do all of this? Because it seems like
like 4 days to load into the space. But we were building the sets, like, and also the costumes was a big just art project, like multi-week art project to kind of come up with the aesthetic. There was also choreography that was going on, you know, leading up to the shoot. There was like a, I think it was like a 2-month lead.
Oh, wow.
Leading up to the actual shoot. We were like really intense, and then like a 4-day load into the space.
So I'll say, I bring this up with Jared a lot, but the amount of work that goes into a music video influences the way I score them. So if it looks like something that could have been done over a weekend, generally I'll give it a lower score. You can obviously tell there's no way you did this in a weekend. Like the set alone, you're not in a real wooded area. You're in a warehouse. So to I knew it took a long time, but I just wanted Jared to hear it.
Here we go. Here we go.
The work that goes in matters.
A lot of it was like the development of the aesthetic, honestly. It was like the costumes were really went through a lot of like iterations and designs, and there was a bunch of stuff that we tried that didn't end up in the video. And then also just props, like just figuring out going around everywhere in New York and New Jersey and being like, what are the things that we can rent that we can bring that will make it feel like a futuristic bayou party?
Futuristic bayou. I've never heard those words together, so I'm glad to have done this already.
It's better than our explanations, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so that's a main question here, because I had a lot of questions, and I think one of the reasons, like, again, I didn't hate the video or anything like that, but I had a hard time grasping onto the story, just as you said, narratively, like, what is happening? Can you just walk us through what is basically happening for someone who hasn't seen the video, and why do they stab the moon and then drive motorcycles into it?
Did you just say boner cycles?
I mean, if that's part of the symbolism.
Yeah, for sure. I think the plot, I think basically my emotional into this was I had been to a party, I think this summer, like, or the summer before I shot this music video. I had recently been to a party in Vermont where like a bunch of really cool people had like gathered out in the woods, and there was a goat that had been slaughtered that day, and they like cut up the goat and everyone ate.
We skipped a lot just then. Hold on. We can't just go like, I went to a party, there was a slaughtered goat. You skipped over.
It was like an art school. It was like all like scientists and art friends. And a lot of people who ended
those
up,
aren't the same thing.
It was a cool party. It was a really cool party, and they had goats on this land, and they killed one of the... Basically, they had killed this goat. They were cutting up the goat. They had, like, roasted the goat, and they were cutting up the goat and, like, passing it around as they were, like, cutting the goat and giving it to people as they were cutting it at a certain point in the evening. And then there was a fireworks show after that, and then everyone was dancing. And I was like, that was, like, a really amazing arc. That was, like, an amazing arc for a party. Like... It got to, like, everyone was milling around, drinking, doing drugs, you know, listening to music. And then it got dark. And then there was this like a big fire and this like goat that was being like cut up and everyone was eating it. And it tasted amazing. And then there was like a lot of fireworks, you know, like just like so many fireworks in the sky. And so I think like the moon, like the beats with the moon are very much like just connected to that party. Because I was like, it was a great... I remember waking up in the morning and being like, that was a great arc for the party. Like, I felt totally... You know when you just, like, you go to a party that just has, like, multiple stages and they just, like, bring you home to being like, that was a great night, you know?
I don't know if I want to go to Vermont.
I was about to say, we're from Alabama. And our parties have one level.
Yeah. You ever done a keg stand? Like, what are you talking about passing around a goat?
People were definitely doing keg stands at that party for sure, you know.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. So how much LSD did you end up doing that night?
That night, I don't think I did LSD. But there was definitely people were for sure. And
sure.
I also remember like with MGMT early on, there was a like with psychedelia in general, it was like we don't want to do like LSD coded imagery. We want it to be like, this is imagery made by people who have taken LSD, you know. That was like,
yeah.
So it was like new kinds of art influenced by the actual experience of taking psychedelics. It was a big early idea.
What then does the it seems like you did not approach this narratively, but like, is there something that the moon juice does in the context of the video?
Jeez. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it...
So it doesn't make a difference in the video that we can see. So the question is, is there something...
This is the stuff that just tickles me, that just to even think about it. I mean, like, clearly it's a music video. To me, music videos have always been like, at their best, they're like a record of like a party kind of, you know? And this is very much like, this video is like a bunch of my friends and the band's friends from this like one moment in time. Like, I remember at the beginning of this just being like, oh man, it's, how is this going to feel like a party if it's in the middle of like a soundstage, you know? Because it was this big jump. It was like this big, it was very like Wayne's World, you know, in Wayne's World where they like go to the set of the basement on the soundstage. Like it was like that. It was that moment for like everyone who I went to college and high school, like everyone who was like friends with this band. It was all like, oh, suddenly we're like on a soundstage and we have to like have a thing that feels like our party there. So yeah, it was a strange experience.
All right, so that's fine. We don't have to nail you down on it because I feel like it is more of like an emotional interpretation. But now that we know it's just goat's blood, that's yeah. Okay. So,
you know, but I don't fault you because this is what he didn't get, and what I did was the video fits the vibe of the song like so good. It's ridiculously good, and that's what makes it so wonderful, and the effort that went into it. Let's talk about the animated parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did that come from? Why is it in there? Does it have meaning? And why are the frogs fucking?
That was so funny. That section, I was crying. Okay, so basically, there was this animated film called Butterfly Ball that was like a huge inspiration early on. That was like one of the pieces. Like, I would just say, like, the way that these, I think that we really liked like Guns N' Roses videos. There was, because I think at this moment in time, there was like a big music videos were, I felt a little conservative. And if when you were to go onto YouTube and watch like a Guns N' Roses video from the early 90s, it just felt kind of like dumb. Things don't really connect, you know. It pieces feel kind of embarrassing, but it's like very, very passionate and like very theatrical and kind of soaring. But you know, like, and I think so. We always just kind of approach this like from a like Butterfly Ball instinctually feels really right, and like there should be glowing space booze because that feels right, you know, and like maybe a fan boat, and so like. Early on, like, we had amazing animators just doing all these 2D animations, you know? And I think initially they were going to be, like, it was more like Roger Rabbit-type approach to this footage.
Okay.
Where there was going to be, like, the bears and these cartoon characters are woven in, like, almost constantly throughout mm-hmm. the video, you know? Which did not end up happening. More like the band is over here in these points, and then the because basically, honestly, animation like takes a really, really long time. So sure. We ended up with like I think we have like 10 really cool characters, and they're kind of like sneakily kind of put in some places, and more like centrally put in other places. But they're really cool.
Is there any story to the characters?
Mean, we hired this one amazing animator. And he was doing animations of our friend Kate Ferenc's drawings. And so they're basically just drawings that our friend Kate, who did the artwork of the eel that ended up on the single cover. And she was an actor in the Time to Pretend video. Basically it's like all the people that like made the sets and stuff are like in the video. It was very much just kind of like, trying to make aesthetics that didn't feel like stuff that we were seeing on the internet or on TV, with our friends, wearing those fashions, trying to shoot it.
Very cool. Yeah.
So why are the frogs fucking?
Okay, that's one frog. That's one frog that has a
what?
That has a he has a piano built into his back.
Into his back, but there's two frog heads.
I can see what you guys see, but I remember seeing
somebody snuck it in. Is what we're saying.
I think somebody snuck in an extra frog, humping the piano frog.
I tried to find the like full high res like asset of the frog. and maybe one day I will find it and send it to you. But I definitely like if that's it was super exciting to me to imagine watching the video and having something that crazy be in the background, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's there, Ray. I'm telling you, it's there.
Well, yeah, I agree with you then. Yeah.
So you also sent us a very interesting video of the choreographer, which I had never seen, but apparently that was like a pretty, I don't know if it was a, maybe back in its time, like a viral-ish video of that choreographer who you just said is in a newer video, the Babylon video.
Yeah, Max Goldblatt choreographed. He him and Celia Rausenhall, who's an amazing choreographer who everyone should check out, choreographed the Electric Feel video together. And Max choreographed McKillar's video and just collaborated with him in a bunch of ways. And he is a performer in the Dancing in Babylon video I just made. So, but yeah, Max is an amazing dancer, and you can see the moves that he's improvising in that video end up like directly in the final video. It's like, it's no joke.
I thought you were pranking us when you sent that to us and you're like, this is the choreographer. I'm like, haha, funny joke. This guy is not the choreographer. And then Jared's like, yeah, no, he really is the choreographer.
It's just the context of it, because he's just in his living room. And so, like, when you see it in the context of the video, it makes so much more sense than just watching him dance around in front of a fireplace.
It does. But he is in some gym pants with a button-up shirt that's way too small for him.
He's a creative.
A tiny jacket.
He's from Vermont.
His belly is sticking out in most of the video. And then he takes his shirt off. I just thought it was a joke. And I was like, he's screwing with us right now. I'm not 100% sure you weren't.
He's just like, you know, you go to, like, if in your early 20s, some of your friends are just like the best dancers. You're just like, I can't believe this person's so good at dancing. They're like so comfortable in their skin and so kind of like creative. And Max is just like, yeah.
I got to stress, man, we're not from the same area you are. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, do I know any good dancers? I don't even know if I've met a dancer like that did it for money professionally.
Nope. Yeah. So where were you when you filmed this again? Because I know you said you're in Manhattan now, but where were you when you did this, all this filming? Where were y'all living?
Okay. So I was living in Bushwick at the time. We had a studio in Lower Manhattan, not far from where I am right now, where we, like, if you see any of the behind the scenes stuff, that's where we're like building the sets and doing the costumes. And we shot the video in Greenpoint, which is like a northern tip of Brooklyn, in a warehouse that they shoot like lots of around this low budget music videos in. And then we went to Florida. We went to Orlando to shoot the animatronic Rockafire explosion stuff.
Okay, what is that from?
That was a chain of restaurants that was competitive with Chuck E. Cheese. There's a doc that my collaborator Jordan Fish made that's like very extensive, that goes very, very deep into that guy. But he was a trip. It was really like amazing.
He was a character. Yeah. That little clip you sent, he was a character.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely like, I mean, those old animatronics are spooky, you know, they just really are. They're really like, he opens up some doors in that place and it's just like mice, like the Terminator, but with a mouse face, and it like the face is melting, and you know, it's like so creepy.
And he's not turning on the light; he's just got like an old flashlight pointed at it, like
exactly
walking
exactly
through a like dungeon that. Yeah. It's like somebody's murdered. If the camera wasn't on, there was going to be a murder.
Did you fear for your life at any point?
But I gotta say, the guy that invented all those robots did hand program the like lip syncing of those robots to Electric Feel.
Yeah, it was still impressive. Yeah,
he was really feeling it. He was really. I will say, like, this song, I was there in the recording studio when they recorded it, you know, and I've, like, made two videos for it, and it's just, like, I've never got sick of the song. It's so good.
You know? Liz, this song does something to our wives whenever we listen to it.
Yeah.
And our wives lose their shit every time. Like, it's the first time they've ever heard it. Yeah. And
They dance.
Yeah. And it is. It's just the song is timeless. It just never gets old.
Yeah.
But this video adds so much to it.
As far as, like, what about some fun? Do you have any like behind the scenes stories, never before told things. Like, what happened here that we need to know? Did y'all fire that girl that got a little too frisky?
No, but I got to say, like, it was really funny hearing you guys talk about, like, whether the dancing was, like, sexual, had sexual energy at all, you know? Because I really do.
Yeah.
It is, like, and it was also, yeah, similar to hearing you guys talk about, like, did you dress like this in 2008 and stuff like that? And it was, like, I will say, like, my friends are cool, but we're also, like, pretty introverted people, too, you know? And, like, everyone was wearing clothes that are an acceleration of what's inside of us, but not what we were wearing day to day. And the process of editing the footage was very much like it is like, wow, this is like all my friends dancing in the middle of the day. Like, you know, some people are on acid, but not, you know, people aren't drinking, you know, it's like, it's the middle of the day, right? You know, it's like, it's very, so it was like finding stuff where people looked at all uninhibited was really tricky, you know. It was
I got like
yeah,
I connected with you because like when you were describing it, because I watched that video a couple times of you being like, there's people here that I know and some people I was in love with. Watching like every like some of the people, you know, like, well, there goes her dancing with him. I don't
That's such a funny way of I can't I'm like 24. I mean, some of this stuff too is just like, it's a record of like me and my friends when we're just like so young, you know, that it, like the fact that it's at all charming is like, but yeah, that's, it's embarrassing. Like, parts of this are embarrassing, but I feel good about it, you know.
No, it is, it's emotional, it's emotionally high. Like, this video does like peek you out. Yeah. I think,
yeah, it definitely is. You can tell it is an emotional piece. Like, y'all put heart into it. It wasn't just project. Yeah. It was a piece of you on film.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I don't know if that's another reason why I score it so high too. I just don't know what it is about this video. It's hard to pinpoint because there's so many little things that I'm like, you know, this was an achievement.
I appreciate that. I really do. I just remember it was really fun. I'm just looking right now. When the moon was on set, we had this big weather balloon with strings on it, which was an actual object that everyone had to handle and not like pop. And there was like a fun, I feel like those scenes where they're actually like handling the moon and stuff are, there was this kind of spooky feeling on set that was super fun, you know?
Yeah. All right. We usually ask, and you don't have to tell us. But we do want to know what was the budget.
Right. Okay. I think the budget on this was something like $80,000 in 2008 dollars.
Wow.
That's actually really high.
That's high compared to what we're normally told.
Yeah. It was a big bump up. Yeah. It was a big bump up from the previous videos, and it was like, the ask from the label was like, can you make something that can play on TV, you know? And the band thought that was like an exciting thing to do, was to like just be surprising by making something really slick.
Wow. $80,000. That's, yeah,
that's crazy. That's one of the higher ones for people that we've interviewed. That's really high. Which good. I mean, I think you can see most of it.
Oh yeah. For sure.
And okay, so, and again, I don't want to nail you down because I know that you're emotionally invested here. Can you give me two sentences on the motorcycles?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I was thinking about it a little bit when I was hearing you guys talk about it. There's a Mr. Show episode where they're talking about like blowing up the moon. Like, we have the capacity, we can do it. Do you remember this?
I'm familiar with the concept, yeah, but not the show. I know what the show is, but I've never watched it.
I think it's a bit of that Mr. Show, we can blow up the moon thing, and just it being the ultimate kind of boneheaded thing to do. I mean, it feels, I mean, it was very much the experience of those fireworks being at the end of that party, just being like, I need that feeling of just like everyone staring at the sky exploding at the end. And
that's enough. You don't have to go any further. You have a secret. You don't have to reveal it.
It was our friend's motorcycle. I remember that. It's my friend Sam Fleischner who took the photo that's on the cover of A Miraculous Spectacular, I think it was like he brought his motorcycle to the set and we shot that really quick. and they blow up the moon at the end. I mean, okay. I don't know. It's like this is very, it's a feeling, you know, it's much more of a feeling than it is.
I love it. I'm going to do a quick summation here because I wrote down inspirations that you've given us throughout this, because for anybody at home that watches music videos that wants to create something, right? Mm-hmm. So the amount of breadth that you have to cover, we've got Guns N' Roses, Wayne's World, Butterfly Ball, and Mr. Show were the inspirations for Electric Feel.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and so many more. I mean, everyone did so much research. Everyone, I feel like there was exhaustive. At this point, I feel like the internet was just starting to have images on it in a really cool way where you could just like dive into it forever. And I think that, like, I remember trying to explain. This is also the first time that I ever worked with like a real production company that was like wanted to do things professionally, and trying to explain to them like line items in the budget. I'm like, these three of my friends are just researching stuff. That's all they're doing, is that they're just pulling images from the internet that we're going to base the costumes off of and base the sets off of. And they were like, that's not, you just can't do that for a music video. But yeah, we were just like so excited to make something that just looked really strange, you know?
That's great.
So another question I always ask directors is the direction of music videos nowadays versus when this came out in 2008. And I could be wrong, but I feel like there was much more emphasis back then on music videos than there is today. It's not quite as popular, I guess. I don't know. Would you agree with that? And what do you think the future of music videos is?
You know, I don't know. I think MGMT just had a really interesting rollout of the singles off their record. I did a video that was, you know, like a really great experience making it. My friend Jordan Fish directed the Mother Nature video, and you know, I think made a really beautiful CG animated short film. Tom Sharpling made an amazing video, and Joey Frank, and I feel like those were great projects. I was involved in like Solange's visual album, which was like a really good, like it's like fewer and far between, you know. And then there's like a bunch of videos that are like, you know, like sub. I did like a very, very low budget Bonnie Prince Billy video this spring that was like, it was like $5,000, but we were able to shoot it on 16mm, and it was very, you know, it was like a very meaningful video. I gotta say, it was so funny to see that you guys had an episode on that Bruce Springsteen I'm on Fire video, because I was a little kid in the editing room when they were editing that video.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I just thought of that because John Sayles, that director, is in that Bonnie Prince Billy video that I made, like on screen in it. Yeah. But yeah, my
interesting tidbit.
Yeah, this was meant to be right here. Yeah.
My dad edited the I'm on Fire video and the Born in the USA video. And I was like, very much, I think my first sentence was Born in the USA. Because I heard him, because he was editing it on a loop, you know, like little kids, like just kind of, where it's like I said some kind of like, you know, mimic of Born in the USA.
That's very cool.
It's insane.
Music videos, yeah, you know, forever.
It's a tight group.
It is. I don't know if I have any other questions.
I do. I've got several. Okay. I've got one main one.
Okay.
All right, because we always ask also. Ray, this is your time to tell us what music video or videos would you like us to cover, if you could suggest music videos for anybody.
Oh, cool. What a cool idea.
It doesn't have to be like, you know, anything super deep. Just what comes to your head when you're like, oh, I love this video, or you guys should watch this video.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, okay, I'll just tell you. I just think that Bjork Bachelorette video, okay, that's just comes screaming to my head. I just always think that's the coolest one.
There you go. That's what we needed to know.
Yeah. Bjork Bachelorette.
Bjork Bachelorette by Michelle Gondry.
Okay.
Just like killed me. Just totally like reshaped my brain.
Yeah. That's high praise right there. That's good.
That's what this I'm looking video forward did to that to
one. Yeah. Cool. Well, now it is your time to shine, sir. What are you working on? What do you want to plug? Advertise yourself shamelessly.
Okay. I'll plug the, I just made a music video for MGMT that came out last month. There was a collaboration track with Christine and the Queens. The song is called Dancing in Babylon. So check out that video. I have a podcast that you should check out, that with Jordan Fish, who's made a bunch of stuff for MGMT and made the Mother Nature video. It's called To the White Sea. It's about this, like $200 million Coen Brothers film that like came all the way close to being filmed, like a couple weeks out from being filmed and got shut down. And we're going through the script and kind of like examining with all of our filmmaking friends, like what that whole film would have been and what it would have been like to watch it. And that's been really cool. And I got like, you know, feature film narrative stuff coming up that everyone should keep an eye out for, that I'm super excited about.
Are you allowed to reveal yet, or?
I can't reveal anything, but,
okay.
You know, super juiced. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us the name of that podcast one more time.
Oh, the podcast is To the White Sea.
To the White Sea. Okay.
Coen Brothers podcast. Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I will probably start listening to that cool. In the morning.
Okay, rad. Yeah, I think you might really dig it.
Cool. Well, I mean, hey, that's it. I think that we got, man. You crushed it. Again, Travis tried to fight me for the score of the video, but your interview, 10 out of 10.
There you go.
Well, thanks so much. I really, really appreciated just the kind of care that you guys put into watching it. We worked really, really hard on making it, so it's really, really nice to have it be kind of unpacked. Yeah,
our listeners have enjoyed it. So, and it is a staple of our music video nights now.
We watch it almost every time.
We do watch it almost every time, and we got to thank you for that because it's awesome.
And currently, still the top five most listened to episodes is the Electric Feel.
Yes,
so it's still resonating somewhere.
Very cool.
So that's all I got. Ray, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your time. It was amazing. Listeners, stay tuned. Be ready for our season finale coming up soon. Thanks for listening. That's Jared.
That's Travis.
And that's Ray. Peace.
Bye.